Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game. Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OhioFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OhioFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Lowe's, we're your go-to for great gardening values every day. That's why we've lowered our price on select bagged mulch, now starting at just $2.88 a bag. Mulch helps prevent weeds and retains moisture. And when you put it down around trees, shrubs, and flower beds, you'll see how beautiful it makes your outdoor space. Just in time to welcome back family and friends. Shop online and pick up in store. Lowe's, home to the best part of summer. Selection and product availability vary by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Surprise, another film study. A nice Friday evening, Saturday morning, whenever you're getting this. Maybe even Sunday morning, getting ready for the Steelers game. Every week, at the end of the show, we get to the film study mailbag. And I always say it's your chance to steer the show. Using the hashtag film study mailbag, you can get in your questions or comment over at filmstudybaltimore.com. Which, by the way, we lost some of your comments when we made the change to Film Study Baltimore. But don't worry about it. We got it straightened out, so any new comments should be staying up there. We should be all good, so we want to hear about you. But anyway, I always say Film Study Mailbag is your chance to steer the show, and there's never been a better example until now. This is the chance where we really do get to steer the show with one question from the film study mailbag. All right, it's another film study, a special film study, as we're going to dig into a really good question that came in through the film study mailbag. Ken McCusick, how you doing?
Life's good, Josh. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, you messaged me. You've been teasing this on the past couple episodes that there was one mailbag question that you really wanted to get into.
Yeah, we get a lot of great questions in the mailbag. So I don't want to always pull out one, but when there is one, we do want to take some time with it. And it's a great scheme one that's right up our alley. So we have Steve Peduto here. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Peduto is the Peduto. Last name.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Anyway, Steve is gonna go through the question again. If this works out, this will be something we'll have as a regular feature that we'll have excellent mailbag questions that we want to go into a little more depth in and drill down.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really do appreciate the opportunity. And the question I had as I was watching the game against Cleveland, the one thing that was kept going in my mind was that the way that Cleveland was running on our defense is just something you just don't see very often, especially running to the outside. The last time I could remember the Ravens being run on like that was probably 2 years ago against the Bears and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the foundational reasons for that, I think, is that the Ravens' outside linebackers have always been good at holding down the edges. What do you think is the reason why our outside linebackers have been having trouble holding the edge in the KC game and even more so in the Cleveland game? Is it a scheme issue or a personnel issue?
Well, it's a great question. I think that the Ravens' old personnel used to be pretty good at stopping the run in the nickel. So they could do it with six heavies, and that meant two outside linebackers, two defensive linemen, and two inside linebackers. And the one of the primary reasons was Terrell Suggs, because they had one of the great outside linebackers in terms of run defense of his entire generation, probably the best. And watching Suggs play, he had a number of different tricks he could use to hold the edge. It wasn't just one thing, like always going to the body, always looking for the bull rush, always looking to turn the guy inside. When he faced two guys, including one puller, one fullback maybe, or two coming at his spot on a counter, he could go low at their knees and take out two guys at one time. So you definitely have lost a lot of that veteran savvy in order to hold the edge that way. I think it's gone even further in the other direction with players like Ferguson and Williams. Not that Williams seems to matter anymore. He's gone now. But Ferguson was a guy who, in his first game against Kansas City, got trapped on the inside pretty badly on the 25-yard run right by McCoy. So he actually, I think, was sucked in by Mitchell Schwartz on the play in terms of taking an inside route, you know, thinking it was to the quarterback when it was really a form of trap block that Schwartz was effectively and in a very savvy way getting that right edge cleared cheaply. They've had other issues too, that they've had too much trouble with tight ends being able to block effectively some of the heavies, whether it's the defensive end, whether it's Chris Wormley or whether it's a outside linebacker. So they've had it's been a multiple questions. You know, obviously they're missing a lot of the savvy. What else have you seen about it that you'd like to either talk about or?
Well, it's interesting. Earlier tonight, I was looking on Game Pass and looking at some old. I think it was the Steelers Ravens game from 2011, where the home game opener that year. And one thing I noticed was Suggs and Jared Johnson, because I wanted to watch a game where both of them were setting the edge, and they lined up far to the outside, and they never let a tackle or a tight end pin them inside. And it looked like the Ravens then were running a lot of base against 12 personnel, whereas in this past game, Martindale was having the Ravens were running a lot of big nickel against 12 personnel. So
right.
Took one of the heavies out, and you had Chuck Clark in. And when they lined him up tight, Chuck Clark looked almost like a 4-3 outside linebacker. And then when they would spread out, he would go out one of the tight ends. But you know, my thought was, were the outside linebackers, because there were only four guys on the line, were they cheating inside a little bit? And then if you went to jumbo nickel and you had five defensive or guys on the line, three heavies and two outside linebackers, would they then be able to space out a little further and have a little bit of advantage to set the edge better?
Okay, so that's like about four questions there, but let's try to address what you got, because this is fantastic content. I mean, just terrific. So let's start with the choice of big nickel versus jumbo nickel when you're talking about 12 personnel. A lot of that is dictated by who that tight end group is. So with the Ravens, it's particularly difficult for other teams to decide how they want to play the Ravens in 12 or even 13 personnel, because you don't really know who's going to split out wide. I mean, it's probably a pretty good idea that Andrews will split out wide if he's at least the second tight end. And if he's in line, he still might still not likely be a running play if he's the only tight end, or he might be in 21 personnel because they've got Ricard in the backfield. So I think a lot of it is due to that. Now, when the Kansas City game, so that was the first game of two that the Ravens gave up a lot of yards, Travis Kelce is the first tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. So when they're in 11 personnel, you treat that almost, you treat that very much as a nickel situation or a dime if the down and distance is such that it dictates it. When it's 12 personnel, then you have to make a tough choice. Now, the Kansas City's second tight end is Blake Bell, and he's not particularly good, or not a particularly dangerous receiver, let me put it that way. And I think that there was a tendency for the Ravens then to try and get away with big nickel, where they normally would not do that against the Chiefs. It's even with two wide receivers on the field and a running back and you know, Kelce, that's still a dangerous set of receivers that I don't think they felt very safe, you know, with only Clark covering Kelce and then the other possibilities with a running back or the second tight end. I would have thought against Cleveland with Ricky Seals-Jones being the number one tight end and them not having much after that would have been a good opportunity to play some heavier sets. And my recollection is that they did. So let's see. In the game against Cleveland, just looking back at the thing here, they did play a fair amount of base defense, and I should remember this because I remember I did it in the article, but I'm seeing like 14, and that includes whatever penalties were included here. I think it might have been 12 or 13 when you trim out the penalties times that they played base. And they don't – yeah, it's 12. And they'd only played base seven times before the entire season. So, you know, the other part of the answer is that it's kind of a dying defense in the NFL. You know, it's the most of the swings in win probability occur against the pass. So there's a great desire to play more nickel and dime coverages that will really defend against those bigger plays, even at the expense of giving up some yardage in the run game.
Now, given the team's weaknesses at inside linebacker, do you think they could get some of the advantages from base by going to the jumbo nickel?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there's a give and take there. So you keep the nickel on the field, and that's what you're getting at, is that, yeah, you still gain the advantage of that, but then you also gain men at the line of scrimmage, a heavier box, and a better chance probably for the outside linebackers that are on the edge to be matched up against a tight end on the outside, where they're going to have an easier time holding that edge, at least on one side. So then to the weak side of that formation, you'll still have a tackle lined up on a tight end. On an outside linebacker. So you still have that difficulty. But, you know, that tackle has to worry about multiple things, including some four inside tech trying to get to the quarterback across his face. So he has other concerns. I think it is better probably at controlling the line of scrimmage, but then once you get past the line of scrimmage and somebody breaks into level two, they get their blocking the way they want, they get the double team on the inside the way they want. Once they break into level two, then you've got a problem potentially, because your inside linebacker there needs to be very savvy about not shooting a gap, not going to the wrong gap, and just maintaining good discipline. Or you've got to have Tony Jefferson, who's the other key part in the jumbo nickel, really being ready to maintain that gap discipline and be in the right spot to make those tackles. And so far this year, I mean, inside linebacker has been the Ravens' big defensive weakness, and it's I think that's been part of the reason this hasn't worked as well. All right. Well, Steve, should we go any deeper on this, or are you good with that?
No, I really appreciate your insights, Ken. And you think if it, I guess one more question. If Earl Thomas is more comfortable in a single high type of safety position, would that allow the other safety, whether it be Jefferson or Clark or who, or even Deshaun Elliott, in certain situations to play more of a to cheat down, play more of a run support role?
Yeah, I mean, and that would of course support a jumbo nickel. It would also just support some bad inside linebacker play if you need to take care of that. We've been talking in the last couple shows a little bit about this, but because Thomas plays one of the deepest center fields in the NFL, it has really accentuated the problem the Ravens have at inside linebacker in terms of coverage, because those guys, when they bite on play action, are coming up close to the line of scrimmage and creating an even larger gap between level two and three for that tight end to sit down, that wide receiver to cross, whatever the playmaker is in space. So anyway, it is always a give and take. I think that it's very interesting how many changes the Ravens have made all in 1 week to try and address that inside linebacker position. I've never seen anything like it. All my years as a football fan, to make four changes in 1 week, all that address the same positional weakness is a very direct and extreme move.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, all right. I mean, I guess we'll talk real quickly. Fort, Bynes, Helmet, or Green Dot moving from Jefferson to Jefferson from Owosso, and also the play of Elliott in those non-traditional dime snaps. Anyway, I'm excited to see. I don't know what you're expecting to see, but maybe we'll see some quarter defense for the first time in a while this next week. We'll see seven DBs on the field, because now they have the ability to substitute for that Mike linebacker.
Yeah, one thing I'm wondering if they're going to be doing is returning Peanut and Kenny Young maybe to that platoon role that they were successful in last year at the Will, and then maybe Bynes and Fort can split the Mike snaps, Bynes focusing more on the rundowns and Fort more as a pass coverage linebacker.
It would make sense. Fort has a very limited NFL pedigree on anything but special teams. He's only played about half a season worth of snaps in eight NFL seasons, but that would make more sense. Bynes is a pure two-down run stuffer and a good one, and I think he's capable of doing that. But the fact that he's that two-down run stuffer makes me kind of think they got Fort for special teams, and it's really a case where they want to get Elliott in as the quarter. Anyway, I'd be excited to see either solution at this point, given what's happened so far. And like you, I think I'm very excited to see that Will linebacker platoon back in shape. That was certainly a great deal for the Ravens last year in terms of value relative to cap they got.
Sure was.
Steve, we really, really appreciate you coming on the show. Great questions, always worth it. And we'd love to do more of these. If we can get some other questions, anybody in the audience, you're out there listening, you think you have a great question, if we think it's worthy of an episode, we'll bring you on just like we did with Steve. And can't thank you enough, Steve. Appreciate you giving your time to this on a Friday night.
No, I appreciate you guys. And, like I said before the show started, I listen to the show, all three episodes you guys do every week on my commute. So it's great to hear great Ravens analysis on the way in.
Great to hear. Thanks, Steve.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification, and they're satisfying to scratch no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.